the special tonight. And I want to echo what Brother David said. I certainly enjoyed the presentation, Brother Mike. And I believe in my heart that God has special plans for the Frew family, yet they are in Hungary. And we will pray that God would open up not only a family that they could work with, but a residence that they could stay at, and that God would begin already to stir in the hearts of the people there in preparation of the Frew family's arrival here shortly, we pray. All right, Hebrews chapter number 7, if you have your Bible open there. Hebrews chapter number 7. I want to get back into this chapter with you. If you'll remember this morning, we talked a little bit about the titles. We went and done a lot of background. I thought it was important that you get the background of the chapter, and we're going to talk a little bit about this man Melchizedek. I want to give you just a little brief outline of chapter 7. There's three words I'd like for you, if you're writing your Bible or if you are taking notes, just write this word typical, because that is in verses 1 through 10. The author here, the apostle, is saying, you know, this man Melchizedek, he is a type. And he expresses some things in verse number 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Now, some people have taken this particular verse and said, well, this is an Old Testament appearance of Christ. It's called a Christophany. I don't accept that. Now, if you do, that's fine. I'm not going to split hairs with you. I believe taken in the context in which it's given, and I believe that we make a mistake when we don't take Scripture in the context in which it's given. Taken in the context in which it's given, it's talking about the priesthood. And so in order, talking and speaking of the priesthood, there were records, there was families, and there were tribes. In order for these people to be priests, they were born into the priesthood. And so with that in mind, they had good record keeping. And he said, you know, there's no record of this. There's no record of his mother. There's no record in verse number 3 of his father, of his descent. And so this was different, this man Melchizedek, from the sons of Aaron. And so it's different dealings here with this man. And then he said, as far as having neither beginning of days nor end of life, there's no record of his birth. There's no certificate or record of his death, but made like unto. In other words, he's a type of. God so ordered the events of his life that it would be a good type. He refers back to that in verse number 15 when he says, and it is yet far more evident, for that after this similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. After this likeness, this similitude. So in verses 1 through 10, he talks a little bit about that Melchizedek is a type of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 11 through verse number 22, he begins to talk about a legal matter. So he goes from typical to legal, and he's talking about the law and how that the law determine the order of the Aaronic priesthood. In verse number 11, he says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, this is one that was set up in the law through the sons of Aaron and through the tribe of Levi. As a matter of fact, if you'll just go through in verse number 11, he says, under it the people received the law. You see that? The latter part of verse number 12, also of the law. And then in verse number 14, it says, Moses spake, in other words, speaking again of the law. And then in verse number 16, who is made not after the law. And verse number 19, for the law. And so we're seeing the legal matters here of the priesthood. So he said there's typical matter, and he discusses that in verses 1 through 10. And then he says there's a legal matter. And to again, to the Jewish people, to these believers, this meant something to them, because he's trying to teach them, you have something better. You have something better. You don't have to go back to that system. You don't have to go back to the system of Judaism. The carnal, he called it the carnal commandment in verse number, let's see where that was, in verse number 16, who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And so he says, you have the typical aspect, the legal aspect. And then in verse number 23, he said, now, this is what's in it for you. This is what's practical. How is this going to impact your life? And we talked about this Wednesday night. And I'll just say this. Verse number 26 really sums it up. I do want to say this. when we were interviewing and just having some casual interview with Brother Mike and Sister Sarah, he talked about the difficulty of the Hungarian language. He said it's, I think, the third, I think he may have mentioned it in his presentation as well, for English-speaking people, the third hardest to learn. And he talked about prepositions and how that they change things around, and it's just, it can be difficult. There's a verse of Scripture in verse number 25 that so often is just misunderstood because it's misquoted. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Now, that doesn't say save them from the uttermost. Many times when you hear this verse of Scripture quoted, that's the way it's quoted, that God's able to save from the uttermost. See, there's no one that God can't save. Now, I want to go on record here, and you already know this. I know there's no one God can't save. But that's not what this verse of Scripture is teaching. God saves us to the uttermost. The word uttermost is a word that's attached to time. In other words, we're saved for time and eternity. Listen, when you get saved, there'll never be a time when you're not saved anymore. We're saved to the uttermost. Amen. 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 To them, he said, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, certainly, by Christ's death, we're saved, but also Romans chapter 5, verse number 10 says, we're saved by his life, because he ever liveth to make intercession. He's our great high priest. And so we need to understand. Look at verse 26. Here is a practical application, just in a small phrase, and I went into this in detail Wednesday night, so I'll not re-preach it, but I do want to make mention of this. The practical part of this teaching is this. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us. He suited for us. Amen. See, that's the practical part. He's suited for us. He's exactly what we need. You say, preacher, you don't know what I need. God knows what you need. God knows what you need. God knows what I need. Sometimes we don't even know what we need. Oh, I know what I need, preacher. Well, you may at some point, but sometimes we don't know what we need. The Bible teaches we don't. Listen, I'm glad we not only have a high priest in heaven who is making intercession for us, and the latter part of verse 25 says that, he ever liveth to make intercession. We have an intercessor that lives in our heart. Romans chapter 8 says that the Spirit of God itself maketh intercession for us. Why? Because we don't know what to pray for as we are. We don't. And so I'm thankful that there's a practical application here, that God is our helper, that God is our guide, that God is our refuge, that God is our strength. He's our fortress. He's there for us. And the great high priest, the Lord Jesus, is praying in our behalf. Now, when you go back, I said I want to talk to you a little bit about giving, about tithing. Tithing is very misunderstood in our day. There are people who say, well, you know, as a matter of fact, I had a little discussion with a guy, and we remained friends. You know, I'm one of those kind of people. I can have a discussion, disagree with you, and I can still remain your friend. You know, it's sad that there's so few people today. It seems like that if, you know, you agree with me or we can no longer be friends. Well, you've got a problem. You're narrow-minded. If you can't disagree with someone without not being their friend or having to separate from them, my goodness, you're eat up with pride. And it may be ignorance, too. We need to learn what it is to be able to discuss things civilly. Amen. And have good, open discussions. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about discussion. Open discussion. This thing of tithing, people say, well, you know, I don't tithe. Tithing's of the law. Well, now, I want to talk to you about that a little bit. Is it really? I don't think we can deny that it was a part of the law because it was given to the Jews. But now, tithing, when I speak of tithing, I'm not talking about the legal matter of tithing, the lawful matter of tithing. There's another kind of tithing. You say another kind of tithing? Well, let's look at what the Scripture says. What saith the Scriptures? Right? I'm not talking about what some Baptist preacher you heard preach or what grandma taught you. I'm talking about what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? The Bible says there is a tithe and it's not part of the law. Amen. Amen. Look at what the Scripture says in verse number 4 of Hebrews chapter 7. Now consider how great this man was. Speaking of Melchizedek, it says, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Now I want you to go home tonight and look that word spoils up. It means the best of the booty. That's what it means. It means the top of the heap. That's what it means. Doesn't mean now that you get something and you pay out of it, and then what you have left, you say, well, I think I'm going to give God a little bit of this. That's not a tithe. That's not the way. God wants us to honor Him with the first fruit of our increase. Say amen with me, church. And listen, I thank God that I pastor a group of people that understand grace giving. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. A tithe can be grace giving. You say, oh no, tithe's law. Well, it can be. It depends on how you view it. See, there's a separation between a lawful tithe and a graceful tithe. That's right. What's the difference, preacher? Well, let's look at what the scripture says here in verse number 4. There's a couple of key words I want you to underline. Look in verse number 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham, look at that next word, gave. See, the lawful tithe is not something that was given. It was taken. It was a debt. It was a requirement in the law. It was required to tithe. Say amen. Amen. That's what the law taught. If you'll go down, look at verse number 5. For verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment, look at this now, to take tithes. And then it talks about paying tithes. Look at verse number 9. Who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. When you get ready to give a tithe, please, for God's sake, don't say, I got to pay my tithe. Well, you don't have to pay your tithes. Amen. Amen. You know, it's amazing how we as believers, if we're not careful, the words that we use can send negative connotation. It can send just a poor message to people. Someone gets up and says, well, it's time to take up the tithes. Well, we're not taking up no tithes. Amen. You give your tithe. It's of your free volition. It's of your free will. It's something you do because you love God, because God's blessed you. You're thankful. You give from a thankful heart. And we're going to see in a moment where Paul said to prove the sincerity of your love. You give gracefully, cheerfully, right? It's not something that, well, you know, I've got to give my tithe. Well, we've got to go to church tomorrow. We don't have to. Hey, man, that's the wrong attitude. I thought what one preacher said. He said, I don't have to go to church. I just have to. Hey, man, there's just something in me since I got saved. Let me just change that. There's just someone in me since I got saved. I just have to come to church. Amen. Amen. I mean, there's a burning in my bosom. I just want to worship with God's people. Amen. So he says here that there's a tithe. Now, the word tithe, In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the Chaldean, it means tenth, a tenth part. And so that's where it starts. Even with the law. Well, we know love exceeds law, right? Amen. Love exceeds law. Grace exceeds law. Tenth's just a starting place. Yeah. And so, you know, so, well, you know, I'm going to, my tithe this week's going to be $26.14. I've got it narrowed down to the tenth. Well, my goodness, that's where you start. And if you want to stick with the tenth, go ahead. And I think you know this. You're only robbing yourself of a greater blessing. Now, you're going to be blessed for giving out of the goodness of your heart, cheerful giving to the Lord. But when we give abundantly, the scripture teaches out of the liberality of what God has blessed us with, as we shall see here in just a moment, then God's going to, listen, He's going to bless us. He's going to bless us. When you give sparingly, you're going to, listen, you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. The scripture teach this? What happens when you sow bountifully? You reap bountifully. Yeah. It's what the Word of God teaches. So let's get this matter of the tithe straight. There is a lawful, legal tithe. We're not under that for a number of reasons. We're not under law, number one. Number two, we're not of the Jewish race. We're not practicing Judaism here. This is Christianity. Amen. We're a people of grace. Our giving, listen, it's not all of grace and then lawful giving. We're giving gracefully. We call it grace giving here. Amen. We don't even pass plates around anymore. You want to give? There's plates at the door. Just put your tithe in there. For those of you watching, there's people here. We send it in through the bank. We mail it in. We just want to give to God's work. I want to give to God's work. I love the work of God. I want to give to the kingdom of God. I want to give to the work of God. I want to give to see that souls are saved and the ministry moves forward. And I know you do too. And so there is a tithe that we want to separate ourselves from. And it's verse number 5. For verily, they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment. So, you know, you've got these folks, well, you know, you've got to tithe, you've got to give a tenth, you better get your calculator out and give, and you better do this or God will curse you. Well, now, wait a minute. That kind of teaching is not going to help many people. You confuse people. I will tell you this, God will bless those who give, and God will add a curse to your life if you rob God. Amen. Amen. But now we're talking about the legal aspect of it. See, Abraham commenced tithing. That was before the law. So it couldn't have been legally. It couldn't have been by the law. Abraham did it out of the goodness of his heart. Abraham did it because he wanted to. Abraham did it because he had bread and wine with Melchizedek, and he was blessed of the Most High God, and God had taken care of him, and God had helped him defeat the enemy. And he said, I just want to give something in the name of God for what God has done for me in my life. You know, I just believe when you're saved, you'll come to that place in your life. I just believe when you're saved, you'll get to that place. I just want to give to the Lord's work. I want to give to the Lord. So Abraham commenced it. Now, later on, we know that Moses did categorize it. And if you'll read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, Numbers, chapter number 18, Deuteronomy, chapter 12, 14, we find some teachings about tithing. You know, they were to bring to the sons of Levi. They were the priest. And they were to bring. They would bring food, and they would bring crop, and they would bring things to give them. And it even says sometimes if it was too far for them to carry these things, animals or produce, then they could exchange it for money. Read it. Deuteronomy 14. So that's the legal aspect. We're not under that anymore. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, some people, and I want you to hold your place here, and notice if you would go to Matthew with me just for a moment, Matthew 23. Some people have used Matthew 23, and they said, well, you know, Jesus wasn't for tithing. I've never read that anywhere in the Bible. And they use this verse of Scripture, so I want to help you. In Matthew 23, when Jesus is rebuking and scorning the scribes and the Pharisees, he speaks of tithe. But he said something right in the midst of this. It is always overlooked when he's speaking against their actions. He said, I'm in Matthew 23. Look, if you would, and I'll just pick up in verse 23. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. All right? So let's stop right here for a moment. He's saying, listen, you tithe. But now, and you take great, listen, obviously you want to be seen of men. He talked about in Matthew 6 about how that they would do that. You know, they gave their alms to be seen. They'd stand on the street corner and sound the trumpet. You know, look at me. You know, I'm giving. So he's rebuking this. He's rebuking this. And he said, listen, your priority's wrong here. And he said, there's weightier matters of the law. Look in verse 23. That you need to be concerned about as well, and that is judgment and mercy and faith. Now, look what he said right after that. These ought ye to have done. And then he said, and not leave the other undone. So he said, now, you know, you should tithe. Just don't leave the other undone. Right? He's not saying you shouldn't. He's not rebuking them for tithing. So don't take that and say, well, Jesus said, you know, if you're poor, you just need to take care of yourself. Well, Jesus take care of you. Amen. Amen. Don't you ever tell a poor person. Don't you ever tell a poor person, well, you don't need to give. Well, wait a minute now. Who are you to tell that person not to give? That's between that person and God. That's between that person and God and the Word of God. And so we don't give based on, if we have a lot or we have a little. We don't do that. The Bible teaches proportionate giving. Right? 1 Corinthians, turn there. New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16. It teaches proportionate giving. I told you, I believe it starts with the tenth. So I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. 1 Corinthians 16, the Apostle Paul says here, in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 16, he said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." We're going to take up an offering, he said. We're going to help some churches. It's a great thing. We're going to help get the gospel out. Amen? Amen. I don't preach on giving much, but it's not because I'm ashamed to. I just preach it when God lays it before me. If I'm going through a book, I'm going to preach on giving because I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. I want you to understand what it is to give to God's work. It's a blessed thing to be able to give to the work of God. Isn't it a blessing? Amen. It's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. And so the apostle writing to the church here said, when it comes to the collection, he said, upon the first day of the week. Well, that would be today. Amen. Upon the first day of the week, he said, let every one of you, except the poor people. That's not what he said. And let every one of you accept the widows. That's not what he said. You see. See, we have a way that we want to interpret Scripture, and we'll wrest Scripture and try to make it say what we want to say, but that's not what God said. That's not what God said. In my ministry, I've never told anyone, now don't you give, you're too poor to give. We encourage the children to give. When we pass out faith promise cards, we encourage the children to fill out a faith promise card. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that when we give, God blesses. When you give, God blesses. I want to go on record tonight and say that my wife and I have been tithing Christians. We've been grace-giving, tithing and offering. Not just tithing and offering Christians. We were taught this at a very, very early in our Christian experience. We've been tithing and offering Christians, and we have never, God has never allowed us to go without what we needed. What we needed. God has taken well care of us, and I bless His holy name for it. And I'm just sure that God has taken well care of this ministry right here because of the grace giving of the people that make up this congregation. And that, I think it's a great testimony. Strong churches are growing churches. Amen. Strong churches are going churches. And strong churches are giving churches. You see, that's what makes a strong church. When you have a vision, and when you have a burden, and when you understand the work of God, when you understand your involvement in it, your involvement. You say, well, you know, some people can sing and some people can teach and some people can play instruments and some people can give. No, everybody gives. Amen. Look at what it gets. Verse number 2 again. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Now, I believe that's proportionate giving. How's God prospered you? Well, then you give accordingly. And I want to close with this. All right? Just talking about giving. Just giving. You keep giving. Give to missions. Give to the building program. Give your tithe and give your offering. Say, well, I don't know how much to give. Well, you start with a tenth. But that's not where you end. The greatest ministries that I'm aware of, now, there's ministries that I'm not very aware of, but the greatest ministries that I'm aware of are ministries that have been giving ministries. I sit under the tutelage and the teaching of Dr. Harold Seiler. That church gave 70 cents of every dollar that came into that ministry went to missions. Now, you think about that for a moment. I'm not talking about a church of 30 people. These folks, listen, they had 2,200 in Sunday school. Okay? So, and there's larger ministries, and there's smaller ministries. It's not about the size of the ministry. I'm just saying 70 cents of every dollar. Now, they didn't start that way. But the preacher led the church in that direction. He said, I just want to be a mission-giving church. And God honored it. God honored it in a great way. In a great way. I want you to turn. I'm going to get you to underline a few words, and I'll be through tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So Abraham paid tithes. God blessed his life. Amen. Abraham paid tithes. And he was the lesser in that. Right? Isn't that what the scripture said over there in Hebrews 7? He was the lesser. He was blessed by the greater. And that doesn't mean he was better. That's not talking about morally, or that just means position. Position in life. Hey, it's a great patriarch. But this great high priest Melchizedek was the greater. That's what he's teaching there. And so we get over here to 2 Corinthians, and I want you to underline a few words in your Bible. I think will help you and I in understanding our mentality in giving. I'm not going to give the name, but I had a family member, and Sharon and I were having dinner with this family member, and we had him over for dinner, and me and this family member began to talk, and he had just gotten saved, and he began to ask me questions about tithing. And I said, well, you know, tithing is thus and thus and thus and thus, and it starts with a tenth. He said, oh, I can't give a tenth. A tenth. A tenth, he said. He said, I make, you know, and he told me how much he made. He had a really good job. And he said, I make such and such. And he said, I can't give a tenth. And I said, well, why not? He said, well, that's, you know, me giving a tenth is like, you know, and he was trying to compare. And I said, listen, the Bible teaches proportionate giving. It's not your concern about what someone else gives, how much they make and how much of that they give. It's your concern about what you give. God's going to hold you accountable for what you give. And if God's blessed you with a lot, then you need to take that into account. I'm going to say this a few more times before I finish up tonight. God will give through you what God will not give to you. They are just folks who do not understand that. I pray to God that we here at Fellowship Baptist Church, as we are endeavoring, and listen, I want to get to the property. I do. I'm looking forward to that day in God's timing now. But I pray to God that we not lose our vision now and we not lose sight of why God planted this work here. God didn't plant us here to be big buildings and have, you know, elaborate buildings and ministries. I think the church ought to be the best looking building in the community, the neatest, the cleanest. Say amen. Amen. Great testimony. But that's not why God planted us here. See, we don't want to become just a reservoir. We want to remain a channel. We want God not only to give to us, but we want God to be able to give through us. Amen. Amen. We don't want to start hoarding money. Well, we got to get over to the property. We don't want to lose our vision, you see, of what God planted the work here for. And it can happen. It can happen. When we get our priority mixed up and when we lose sight of what God wants to do here. Now, notice what Paul, I want you to underline some words here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, some of the greatest teaching on biblical giving you'll ever read in the Scripture. Again, Paul writing to the local church in Corinth. I want you to underline, first of all, I want you to notice this word. You see in verse number 3, for to their power. Underline that word. He uses it again in later in that verse 8, and beyond their power. That word simply means, and I'm not changing what the Bible says here. I'm just giving, the word power is ability. I don't think anyone would deny that. Ability. See, God will bless you with an ability to give. And he said, you know what these churches in Macedonia did? He said, you know what they did? He said, they not only gave to their power or ability, they gave beyond it. They gave beyond it. So that's what God will do in your heart when you get in touch with God. God will stretch your faith in this matter of giving. So think about ability. Then think of this word. Underline it. Look in verse number 2, the last word there. Liberality. See, they said, you know what? My ability is this. But God moved in their heart and they gave beyond their ability. That's liberality, right? Amen. See, when God gets involved, don't leave God out in this matter of giving now. Don't you work this out now. Don't get your calculator and your legal pad and start trying to work this thing out. Don't do that. No. The secret place, the prayer closet's where you get when you're getting ready to give. God will tell you, put your pencil away. Put your calculator away. And get along with God. God will tell you. Did God tell you you needed to get saved? Did he? Amen. If you're saved, I know he did. I know he did. God not only told you needed to get saved, God told you how to get saved. You say, well, no, actually a man did. Well, who told him? Where did he get that information from? God tells us that we need to get saved. God tells us how to get saved. God will tell you what to give too. Now he will, if you will allow him to. And so don't try to calculate giving. We mess up. So the scripture says in verse number 3, their power, ability. I want you to think of that word. Remember this word. But he said not only was it their ability, it was beyond their ability. And then he mentions in the latter part of verse number 2, liberality. What a good word. What a good word. Listen, I'm not liberal hardly in anything in my life, but this is one area of my life I want to be a liberal in. Amen. Would you allow me to be liberal in that area? We ought to be liberal in our giving. Amen. I told you this morning, there's givers and takers. I don't want my life, when all of life is over, and one day it's going to be, brethren, one day it's going to be, and it may be for me before it is you, it may be you before it is me. We may go together, but one day all of life is going to be over. And when all of life is over, I do not want my life to be characterized as a taker. I want God to receive the glory and people to remember, you know what, that man, for whatever was wrong with him and whatever was just messed up about him, he was a giver. I want to be characterized by giving and not as a taker, and I believe you do as well. And so, ability, liberality. Look over in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Underline right there in that last phrase, sincerity. So we have ability. Good word. Beyond their ability. Then we have liberality. Be a liberal giver. You know, and it doesn't have to be just in your monetary giving. Give of yourself, right? Put others before yourself. It's a great way to live life. We need to give. This thing of money and giving to the Lord's work, we ought to give liberally. We ought to give liberally. By the way, I didn't go to Malachi. I could have. I believe in storehouse tithing. I have people ask me all the time, would you like to give to, we had it today, would you like to give to the education of local education? I give every year in my taxes. I'm getting taxed to death. How much you people want out of me? Amen. I feel like I'm educating Greene County. How much they need? Listen. I don't give to those things. You say, well, I want to give. Well, you give to what you want to give to. But listen, if you want to give, give to the church. Give to the church. This is one place where we're very transparent with the money here. I want to take this opportunity, Brother Benny. I want to thank you and Brother Tracy. Where are you at? Sister Angela in here. She back in the nursery. There she is. I appreciate these folks, and I appreciate Brother David and the men, Brother Terry, Brother Allen, and others, Brother John, that sit on the finance committee. I praise God for these folks. I was just having a conversation with Brother Tim this morning. Listen, my name's not on anything here as far as money. It's not. I oversee the finances, okay? Ultimately, it comes through the pastor. But I don't want to get involved in that. God has blessed us with people that are far better with that than me. I don't need to get bogged down with that. Amen. I don't need to get bogged. I praise God for that. You realize how important, how blessed we are to have people that can work through these matters and present us with these numbers and with this information that helps us to keep our transactions, our giving, and our expenses all transparent and above board so that there can be honesty in this matter of handling God's money. It's important. It's very. How many ministers have you known that's gone bottom up because of dishonesty in this matter that I speak to you about tonight? It's very important. Very important. And so I look in verse number 8 in the latter part there. It says, to prove the sincerity of your love. And he's talking about the giving in the context of the scripture. You see, when I give, when you give, we're proving not only to God, we're not only proving to ourselves, to one another, but we're proving to this community. There's a love here. There's a love here. A love that exceeds just a human, shallow kind of love. We have a love for what God is doing in the world. And we believe that what God is doing in the world, He's doing through His church. And so we give to that so that God can continue to work through the church to draw men unto Himself. And so as we do, verse number 8 says that we do to prove the sincerity of our love. And so there's ability, there's generosity is mentioned. In verse number 1, I didn't even mention that one. It speaks about the grace. There's liberality, there's sincerity. Here's a good one. Look, if you would, down in verse number 14. This word is used twice. Equality. You see that word? Look at that verse 14. I'm talking about giving, tithing, offerings in the church. You ought to be a part of it. Every person ought to be a giving Christian. Every person. You ought to be giving. You ought to be giving. Just give unto the Lord's work. Give unto the local church. Give to missions. Give to the work, and God will bless you for it. Now, most folks here do, and I praise God for it. What does it mean in verse 14? But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now, what's he saying? He said, you know what? You know what? Sometimes God won't give to you directly. He'll give to someone to give to you so you both can be blessed. And sometimes God won't give to that other person. He'll give to them and through them to give to you so that you can be on the other end of that. Read that verse. That's exactly what it means. Look at it again. For by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. You say, well, God's given me a lot. Well, now, wait a minute. God may not have given you all that for you to keep. Is that what this verse is teaching? Absolutely. God gave that to you so he could give it through you to meet someone else's need so that you both could get a blessing. Right? Amen. These are good words that we need to understand about giving. We don't just come to church and say, well, you know, I got to pay my tithe and throw an envelope in the plate. Hey, you're missing a great blessing. Understand the concept, the biblical concept of giving so that you can get in on the blessing aspect of it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to give to the Lord's work. Amen, folks? Amen. Those of you who've been giving, you know what I'm talking about. It's just a wonderful thing. It is. Well, let me close with this. Chapter 9, I want to give you a couple of words. Don't leave here in verse number 7. There's a word I want you to underline, necessity. Have you been noticing something about these words? Ability, generosity, liberality, sincerity, equality. Now here's one, necessity. Don't leave here and say, well, I got to give now. The preacher said everybody ought to give. Oh, no. Nope. You're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to get a whole lot out of it if that's the spirit in which you give. The Bible says that we're not to give out of necessity. See, that's Old Testament. That's law. That's legal tithing. That's like somebody knocking on your door. Now, listen, they are pastors. Now, I know them personally. You know, they'll come and collect your tithe. Hey, man, they'll ring your doorbell, brother. I'm telling you. Say, hey, I come to get your tithe. We're not going to do that. You won't get a visit from your pastor on that account. All right? Because I believe in New Testament Bible grace giving. You give from a willing, cheerful heart because you want to prove the sincerity of your love and you want to give to God's work. God, I just want to give to what you're doing. I believe in what you're doing and I just want to be a part of it, and you've blessed me and I just want to give of the first fruit of my increase. I want to give from the top of the heap. I want to give to your work. Amen. Amen. So did you underline necessity? So that means when we have prayer up here, don't be passing notes now. When Brother David is standing up here praying over our offering. Don't be thinking about what's for dinner. Please listen to me. Worship in your giving. Worship in your giving. It ought to be a time of sacredness. God, take this. I offer it to you. Use it. Lord, multiply it as only you can to meet many, many needs of this congregation and through this congregation, throughout this community, and even around the world. God, use what you've given to me, and I now give back to you. See, when we give, we are acknowledging that everything belongs to God. Everything. You say, well, the tenth. No, no, wait a minute. No, 100% of it. All of it belongs to God. We're good stewards of everything God gives us. Final word that I want you to underline here. Cheerful. Verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Cheerful. Give cheerfully. Worship. Rejoice. And you've heard it over and over. This word literally means with a laughter. With rejoicing. You know? So, here's just a surface message on giving. Abraham paid tithes. Abraham did it because he wanted to. Abraham wasn't run down and cornered or handed a legal sheet that was had his rights read to him and said, now you pay your tithes, mister. God looked after you in the battle. Now it's time for you to pay up. That's not what happened. Abraham had fellowship, bread and wine with the great high priest. And he received a blessing from the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he was told how God protected him and helped him in the battle. And he said, I just want to give. This humbles me. So I just want to give. I want to give. And he gave. He gave out of the sincerity of his heart because he chose to. And when you give, I pray you give that way. Give because you choose to. All right, let's stand to our feet. Giving. Someone says, when my mind grows by taking in, but my heart grows by giving out. Be a giver. Be a giver. I just pray that God would help me throughout the remainder of my life, however long that will be, I don't know. I want to remain a giver. I don't want to slip into that mode of a taker. I'm serious about this thing here now. I am. I just do not. I've seen so many people that just for whatever reason fell into that category of wanting to be a taker. You know, going through life as the victim. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I've been set free. Hey, man, I'm not a victim. I'm a saved child of God. I'm set free. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm rejoicing. I'm praising God for what he's done in my life. And I just want to give back a little of what he's done for me in appreciation. It's not, I'm not trying to bribe God. I just give it because I want to give. And I believe you do too. All right, let's bow our heads together. The pianist is going to begin to play. And as she does, if you're here tonight and you're saved,